What's up and welcome to NExpress, PopOptic.com's Nintendo show. With me as always is Ricky D.
Hello, Tim, and I promise this week our show is going to be light, not as intense as last week.
Yeah, that was a really, really heavy, dark show. We also have Patrick Murphy returning again.
Hey, guys, good to be back again.
And for the first time ever, we have the lovely Brittany Mason, my wife.
Hey, I feel not deserving of being on the show, but I'm glad to be here.
No, you totally have earned this spot with all the Yoshi that you've been playing with me. But before we get to that, we have a little game that we like to call Five Questions, where Ricky is going to shoot five questions at you lightning fast, and you just answer with the first thing that comes to your head. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, Ricky, you ready?
All right, Brittany, what is your favorite video game of all time?
Yoshi's Island, obviously.
Okay, now, if Tim were, for whatever reason, to be trapped in a video game for the rest of his life, and the only way you can spend time with Tim is to play that video game, what video game would you want him to be trapped in?
Probably A Link to the Past.
All right, good call. Yeah. And who is your favorite female character of all time in video games?
Zelda, I guess?
Yeah.
All right, what is your favorite video game console made by Nintendo?
The SNES.
Okay. And what is your favorite video game podcast?
This one, obviously.
That's it. Those are my five.
All of those answers were the only answer that I could answer because I have nothing else and know nothing else.
I think those answers are all correct, too.
Oh, good.
They're awesome, yeah. I would love to be stuck in A Link to the Past. I think that
sure.
makes me Link, right?
Sure.
Or would I be Zelda?
I mean, you could pass as Zelda, too, if you want.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
We're going to start with our Nintendo-sage. There's some huge news spilling out about the... I shouldn't say news. But there's some rumors spilling out about the NX and what it might be. The biggest rumor of which is that it's going to be a machine that is more... or equally as powerful as a PlayStation 4, and will also include another tablet controller as one of the playing options, so that we will be backwards compatible. You guys heard all this?
Wait a minute. Is this true? Because I was told it was leading standard of chip, but what does leading standard of chips mean?
Yeah, I mean, from everything that I've heard, it is going to be, like what Tim said, it's going to be as powerful or a little bit more. I mean, it should be... I think it's a leading standard, but right now those two machines are still pretty high tech.
Yeah, they're pretty neck and neck.
Okay, so and in terms of the additional console slash screen, the portable, is it going to come with the system, or do we think it's going to be separate and you can purchase either or both? And if you do, you can connect it. Like, for example, imagine we could connect the 3DS to the Wii U.
Now, that's a really good question, because it all depends on what the price of the console is, what they want to make the price of the console. Because if they don't include it, though, God, how much money are you going to be spending on this thing? It seems like it's a pretty integral part of what Nintendo's games are doing right now, and if you want to play any Wii U games, you're going to need that controller, unless for some reason your gamepad could also connect to this thing.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo loves their backwards compatible controllers, so I wouldn't be surprised if the tablet works, the gamepad, but... it's Nintendo, so I can't imagine they would sell the thing without all the proper components. That's just not them.
This connects us back to last week's heated, tense discussion about Nintendo. And the thing is, you know, on that show, I was talking about how it's really hard for Nintendo to release a console that's really expensive because it's really a console. Like, Nintendo consoles are really aimed, I think, at families. And the reason why I say this, and I was arguing with my cousin on our website, he left a bunch of comments on our last podcast. Give an example. I'm speaking from a personal experience. But at the elementary school that I work at, there is 548 kids in that school. I know each and every single one of those kids fairly well. Each and every single one of those kids has a video game console. Now, to be fair, it's also a school in which a lot of these kids, their parents are very wealthy. But hear me out. I would say 95% or more of those kids own some sort of Nintendo console. It could be a 3DS, the new 3DS, the Wii U, and or a combination of those, right? There's about 1% of those kids who own an Xbox or a PlayStation because their parents either do not want to pay for a much more expensive console and or they don't want their kids playing Call of Duty, for example. And so this brings me back to what I was saying last week is if Nintendo releases this console, that's going to be fantastic. We're going to be happy as hell, right? Like this is kind of like what we want. But what will the price range be? Can Nintendo afford to take a hit? And I guess Nintendo can take a hit. But the thing is, we assume they're going to be releasing this console in between gens, right? Like now people think that the console might come as early as late 2016, which I doubt. But the fact that they're sending out these dev kits to developers leads a lot of people to believe that it's going to come out sooner than later, right? So if you're going to release a console, you got to make sure your console is more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One because you're going to be dated like 2 years later, a year later when Xbox 3, 2, whatever you want to call it, comes out and PS5, right? So yeah. How do you release a console that is that powerful, that's also portable, and that's affordable?
Well, here's the thing. You got to remember that Nintendo usually goes on a 5-year console cycle, whereas the other two are trying to kind of transitioning to a 7-year console cycle. So
they even said 10.
Like, yeah, maybe even both. 10. So I would expect this next Nintendo console to purely compete with PS4 and Xbox One, and not another machine. I don't think because I think those two are going to be around for a long time, just in Sony's and Microsoft's mind. So
and you have to remember that these consoles won't hit their like true full power until late life cycle.
Yeah.
Like people just figure out how to use it more and more. So if Nintendo is getting the best chip, then theoretically it will still be exceeding both what the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One will be able to do late in their life cycle. So it could be entirely possible that they can reach a new limit that thus like will set the standard for the industry.
Yeah. Now the problem is that they are late to this next generation, though, and that means that, you know, a lot of people have already bought their PS4s or Xbox One. So, what incentive are they going to have to buy Nintendo's similarly powered machine? I mean, positioning themselves as an alternative was always good. The Wii was great because everybody could afford to have two consoles then.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I was trying to explain last week on the show. And that's what people don't understand is we all want this. We want a more powerful machine with a decent controller and so on and so forth. Like all of these complaints that we talked about last week, we all want it. It's not like we don't want it. But the thing is, if Nintendo has a more powerful console and they release a game like Metal Gear Solid 5, are the people who already own the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and who are settled into a comfort zone playing those specific systems, are they actually going to choose to buy a third-party game like Metal Gear Solid 5 on a Nintendo console as opposed to a PS or Xbox? I don't think so.
Here's what I think, though, is that it'll give everyone a chance that just owns the Nintendo console, all the really hardcore Nintendo fans. It'll give them a chance to play those third-party titles, but this will give everyone else a chance to get all the first-party Nintendo titles that they haven't been playing. And, like, for people like my wife, Brittany, like, how many times have you played our Wii U? Plenty, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you played my Xbox One?
3.
If that, have you even played it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But, like, I'm reviewing Halo 5 right now. She has zero interest in even seeing that game. Mm-hmm. Instead, she's like, can we play Yoshi now? Like, that's all she cares about is, like, the Wii U. Or, like, she'll play Nintendo Land with me or Mario, like, these are the games that she cares about, so people like her will be happy because they'll be able to keep playing those, whereas like the people that also want to play third-party titles will get a chance. So it's like, I think it gives an opportunity for both sides. People that have just the Xbox or PlayStation could play Nintendo and argue that like, oh yeah, now that these games are going to be the same power as all my favorites, why not? And everyone that just loves Nintendo can maybe get out there and play some third parties that they've been missing, so
I guess what I'm asking here, is it actually going to be a game changer? Like, is it really going to change sales as compared to the Wii U? Because like I said, okay, so say someone like Aaron, who clearly prefers PC gaming, he's got a PS4, he's got the Wii U, he's also the co-host of our N Express podcast, right? He's most likely going to pick up the next console because he picks up every single console. But is he actually, again, going to be buying these third-party games? I don't think so on a Nintendo. I think he's still going to be buying it on PS4 and Xbox. And so I just think that the people that don't already own a Wii U aren't going to actually buy the NX for third-party games. They're going to buy it for Nintendo games. They're going to buy it because they want to play Zelda and or Mario and or Metroid.
I think game lineup is everything also, though. And it, like, really depends. Like, if Nintendo can get a hardcore Metroid game out there, I think that'd be a huge selling point. But even more so, like, both Xbox and PlayStation have a couple of exclusives that aren't first party that are big sellers. Like, look at Bloodborne or look at Until Dawn. Like, these are the games that are selling the PlayStation right now. If Nintendo, through having a more powerful console, can get some of those exclusive third-party titles, I think that would also really, really help hardcore gamers get invested in this thing.
And I'm just curious if these quote-unquote hardcore gamers are actually going to be picking up the NX because it's more powerful. Like, it's just weird. Like, I mean, if the NX were to be released at the end of 2016, say early 2017, which I find even stranger, because why would you release a console after Christmas? Like, I mean, people, like I said, they already had their PS4 or their Xbox. Like, yeah. Why would they want to pick up an additional console so soon? And what would the game lineup be?
I don't think any of those people are going to pick up another one. Anybody who has an Xbox One or PS4 isn't going to make a Switch, I don't think. Because at this point, they already have their accounts all set up. Things are just too, like you said, comfortable for them in their position right now. But it allows for, like, Nintendo fans who are going to purchase it anyway. Like, everybody that bought a Wii U is probably going to buy the NX. And now Nintendo can make money off the licensing of third-party games, hopefully. Like, it can just be better for everyone. It gives other people a chance to play games that they otherwise never would have been able to.
Yeah. And, like, how many people buy both the Xbox and the PlayStation? Like, they probably don't need all those for the third parties. Like I said, it's going to be the, like, exclusive third-party titles that make people make that jump, you know, like the Naughty Dog game or anything else along those lines. That's what people are going to buy another console for.
Yeah, a few people might switch over because they really have wanted to play Nintendo games, and this might be an opportunity to do it. I'm not sure how much more business they'll get, but if they can keep the price competitive, then it won't be a bad decision to release it this early in the... You know, after the Wii U, it won't necessarily hurt them.
Yeah,
I just don't see how they can keep the price low.
I don't either.
No, I mean, the technology will be cheaper, especially if they're aiming for like late 2017 rather than 2016.
Yeah,
the technology is just going to keep getting cheaper. So, like, I could imagine it will be less expensive to create the thing, but.
Let me ask you a question. When is the new Dragon Quest game going to be released?
Oh, God.
Oh, I think 2016.
Probably when Final Fantasy 15 gets released.
Which is never.
The reason why I ask is because they said that the new Dragon Quest game would be available on the NX.
Yes.
So if Dragon Quest is going to get released at the end of 2016, then there's a good chance that NX is going to get released either the end of 2016 and or 2017. But you know what? I do not want a Nintendo system that's going to get third-party games like a year later and the quality is not as good as, say, the quality that you would have on Xbox One or PS4. Like, that's been a huge problem with Nintendo over the past 10 years. Like, they get third-party games, but they get them late and it's never as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this will be the case with the NX. I think it's from what it sounds like, and keep in mind these are just rumors, but... It sounds like it's at least the ports will at least be on par. Whether or not those initial games come a little late, you know, that all depends. There could be a delay in the release or things like that, and that's okay as long as it gets everything else on time. You know, from then on forward, then they're all good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just kind of think that 2016 is unrealistic. Like, I think everybody wants it to get released in 2016, but if they release it in 2016, well, what does that mean for Zelda? Nintendo just released a statement last week where they were talking about how the wait for Star Fox and Zelda is going to be worth it, and it will for sure be released in 2016 on the Wii U. So they can't just, like, move it over to the next console because it's going to piss everyone off.
But they could do a Twilight Princess thing. They really could.
Yeah. Patrick, of course, is referring to the other rumor that we're getting Twilight Princess HD coming to the Wii U, but everyone's trying to figure out what that means for the new Zelda game and what that means for the Wii U's lifetime. It's just everything's up in the air, and we all want answers.
Yeah. I mean, Rick, for what, like, your questions about Zelda and whether or not it's coming to the Wii U, I think it was answered by... if this Twilight Princess HD thing is real, I think... that answers all questions about Zelda Wii U moving to the NX. For me, that's a definitive. It's definitely going to be on the NX. Whether it's still on the Wii U or not is one thing, but it's definitely going to move to the NX and be a launch title.
But why? Why? I don't understand. It's not the same developers. Like, just because they're working on a high-definition remake of Twilight Princess. I mean, they could have been working on this for years before they even realized that they were going to delay the Zelda game.
Like, well, let me rephrase that, I guess. If the NX comes out at the end of 2016, then this is definitely the case. If the NX comes out in 2017, then having an HD Twilight Princess come out in the next few months or so is fine. It's just the timing of Zelda's. You don't release two big Zelda games in a year. Like, the whole reason we got
Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time. I mean, that's like the biggest counter to that argument. You never know what Nintendo's secretly planning. Like, Majora's Mask was supposed to be that really, really fast turnover game.
That's
so, like,
true.
Maybe they're planning on launching this Zelda Wii U way faster than anyone sees coming, and then turning it over and putting out a totally different, totally opposite Zelda game. We really don't know.
I see it as a stopgap measure, just like Wind Waker HD was, and that which they were completely open about, saying, we don't have a new Zelda game for you yet, but instead we're going to give you this. And
yeah, we're stalling, but here's an awesome game.
Yeah, and everybody was cool with that, right? Because we didn't expect a new Zelda right away. But now we're starting to get itchy for that new Zelda, and I see this as being another stopgap measure, saying, we're delaying it again, because maybe we're going to put it out at the launch of our new console.
Yeah.
This pacifying, gift to you guys.
For all we know, as portable and home console are merging, it could be that they're like, oh, we don't have a new Zelda game for the NX right away, but we do have Legend of Zelda Maker. I mean, you just really don't know with Nintendo.
Yeah.
There's so many things they could do with this.
Well, some guy already created Legend of Zelda Maker, so...
Yeah, I saw that. But who knows? Like, it's only a matter of time before Nintendo...
They'll shut that thing down fast.
Yeah.
Personally, I want the NX to come out next year. Like, I don't want to wait any longer. Plus, it'll give us so much to talk about on our podcast.
Yeah, because otherwise it could be a really slow year for the Wii U.
Yeah, and also you got to remember, like, the fact that they have a game like Pikmin 4, which is already completed.
Yeah.
Like, God knows what Nintendo's already got made. They can have the next Mario game ready to roll out, but they're holding off until the next system. They can have a bunch of things, like a Metroid game. They could be working on a Metroid
game. It's already done. Like, Metroid was already done, and then people trashed on Federation Force. And they're like, now you guys don't get this one. Sorry. Like, this is your own fault.
Well, Retro's clearly been working on something for quite some time.
I know.
I would be shocked to find out it's a Metroid for the NX,
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they were supposed to come to E3 last year, and then they didn't show up, and everyone was like, hey, why'd you guys pull them? Yeah. I'm guessing they were like, oh, never mind, work on this for the NX. Not the Wii U.
Exactly. And what a launch that would make if they come out with a Metroid. They'll have Pikmin 4 and whatever Mario game they make. They could end up having a great launch for the NX.
Can we all agree that if Nintendo were to release the NX and it was bundled with the new Zelda game, it would sell like 40 million units?
Oh my God, you're right. It would be right away. It'd be impossible to find. For a year at least.
If they like really wanted to kill all competition, they could like double bundle Zelda and Metroid and be like, "You guys, this is all you guys want. Here it is."
Oh, I'd be furious with them because I'd never be able to get one. I'd be just reading reviews of it, because there's no way any store would ever have one.
Yeah, seriously. But maybe they'll have the Club Nintendo replacement up, and they'll prioritize fans for once. I don't know.
Hey.
Here's to wishing. I think that'll do it for our opening segment. We're going to take a brief break and then dive deep into Yoshi's Woolly World, the new hit on Wii U. Stick around.
Yoshi!
Welcome back to N Express, where we're at our main event, a discussion of Yoshi's Woolly World, which I'm really excited. This is why my wife is here today, because we've been playing this game nonstop. Literally nonstop.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
But it's so good.
Now, have you guys played all the way through yet?
We're on world 4 of okay. 5, so we're not done yet. We are 100%ing everything, and anytime we don't get all the yarn or the flowers.
Smiley flowers.
Level, yeah, we go right back.
Wow, you guys are troopers then.
I know.
How is it two-player? Do you guys like it? I've been only playing it single-player, so how do you guys like it?
I was just telling Tim before we started that I wish that I had played it single-player a little bit to see how it compares to both the multiplayer and how it compares to the original Yoshi's Island. But two-player, I think, has been good. There's a couple things, kinks we have to work out. We accidentally kill each other sometimes. But
accidentally, sure.
I think it makes it harder. It's like so many people say it makes it easier because there are times when you can't get up high and then it's just like, oh, eat your partner and shoot them up at the flower or whatever. But more often than not, I feel like it's like one of us trying to hit an invisible cloud and then hitting the other Yoshi like smack in the face and then they fall to their death.
Or I'm trying to eat something and I accidentally just eat Tim and then...
The best is when things just go totally wrong, though, and one of us eats the other and then plummets to our death and we have to go back to the last checkpoint.
Nice. When one person dies, can you just re-enter right away? Or
Yeah. That's the one good thing that I've noticed is that when one of you dies, you just come back almost immediately as a little egg, which is good. So I'm assuming in single player, if you die, you just die.
Yeah, you go back to a checkpoint.
Yeah. So that's been good, at least.
Oh, so you don't have to restart the level?
No.
Okay. Well, are you guys playing on mellow or classic?
Classic.
The thing about this game is I think it's way too easy. Like, I actually started playing this game yesterday afternoon, and I am now at level 4. And that's kind of, like, the only thing I do not like about this game. Because I was told that there was expert level and beginners, and it feels like there's beginners and sort of mild.
I was telling the same thing to Tim because I am used to Yoshi's Island, which is pretty similar, but it's so far in playing Yoshi's Woolly World, Yoshi's Island seems a lot harder, which I like better. Mm-hmm. It seems a lot easier in Yoshi's Woolly World just to get through the levels, and they're a lot, it's a lot less risky, I guess. I like it, but...
Getting through the levels is pretty easy, but wouldn't you say that getting all of the collectibles does have some challenge? Like, I don't know, Rick, how much you've actually collected.
No, I'm going to totally agree with you there. Now, the thing is, I didn't try to 100% complete each and every single level because I only started playing yesterday, and I knew we had to review it on today's show. So I was like, I'm just going to try to finish as many as I can. There's a few where I 100%ed, you know, not all, so I'm going to go back and play them again. You're totally right, and that's the thing about this game is actually finishing a stage is easy, but if you want to find every single little hidden item, every single little hidden room, you're going to have to play detective.
But the thing is that if you don't, you know, if you play through the whole level and you get to the end and you realize you miss a flower or you miss a yarn, when you play it again, you only need to go get that one that you missed. Whereas in Yoshi's Island, you have to play it through and get everything every single time you play it in order to get 100%. Yep. And so there have been times when we play through, we miss something, and we go back and just run through the level really quickly just to find that one thing we missed. And then, you know, we can skip everything else. And that just seems kind of silly, I guess, because, you know, you don't have to play the level through 100% every single time. You can just kind of play it and get the pieces you need, and that's it.
Yeah, it's definitely not Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. I mean, it does not have a ton of challenge to it. But then I don't know that it was necessarily supposed to be. I mean, these are the people that made Kirby's Epic Yarn, and I don't know if you guys played that, but that was about as easy as a game gets. But they're kind of relaxing games. This is a really relaxing platformer. Like, you never feel tense.
I think you guys need to play with two people. I always told people that with Kirby's Epic Yarn, it's really easy in one player, but then as soon as you have two people and you're both bouncing around, it's like super competitive and it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, one person can stand on this platform, and so you're just going to be knocking each other off, and it's chaotic. but wonderful at the same time.
You know what's funny is you mentioned Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, Kirby's Epic Yarn, and Yoshi's Island, and that's the best way to describe this game. It's like taking ideas from every single one of these games and making a new Yoshi game. And so I really love this game. Like, in all honesty, I just want to go back and play it right now. I could not put it down. Like, started playing yesterday. You know, I'm on World 4. I made it pretty far in less than 24 hours because I can't put it down. I love this game so much. I just kind of wish it was a little tougher. I mean, actually completing the levels. Like, yes, it's difficult to find all the little hidden secrets. But, for example, there's no time limit. There's no lives to lose. And the boss battles are kind of way too easy. And my only criticism really is, apart from the fact that it borrows ideas from all these games we just mentioned, it also borrows a lot of the same characters. Like, it doesn't feel like it's adding anything new to the Yoshi universe.
Kind of what I like about it, is because I have, you know, the only other video game that I've really played is Yoshi's Island. And so I was excited to see a lot of the same characters and that they do a lot of the same things that they do in Yoshi's Island. But yeah, it almost makes it more predictable, I guess, because I recognize these characters and I know what they do and how you can use them. And so that, I think, gives an advantage. But yeah, it's also not that interesting if you're, you know, if you've already played a similar game.
Yeah, I think it's more about seeing all your favorite characters in their yarn form.
Yeah,
rather than new stuff.
The visuals are a huge draw in this game. Huge draw.
No, they're amazing. Yeah. Everything looks so good. This game looks impeccable. Every small detail is heartwarming and mind-boggling. It's just...
All the little animations, like the Shy Guys with crochet hooks, are
and like you can see like little crochet needles built into the stages.
Yes.
And like there's little buttons everywhere. And like
Ball clouds. I almost wanted to like grab them. I wanted to reach into my TV and grab them. They were
or like the fire in the game. Whenever it shoots fire at you, it's also like little colored cotton balls, and it's just like it looks like fire, but it looks like cotton at the same time, and it's so creative.
My favorite level so far is I don't know what the level's called, but it's the gingerbread castle, or at least I think it's a gingerbread castle. It's sort of like there's Oreo cookies. That level made me so hungry. Like, I was playing that level and I'm like, I just want to snack on some Oreos or chocolate chip cookies right now. But this game is, I think, like the cutest, most adorable game I've ever played. Did anyone buy the Yoshi amiibo?
We've got two.
We have two.
Yeah.
Well, I did not.
We both needed one, so.
Now, what is that? Have you? All that does is give you an additional Yoshi, right?
Like, so yeah, I actually, we haven't used it until just today. I was curious, like, exactly what it does. And if you're playing single player, you touch your amiibo to the pad, and it will give you a double Yoshi, so, like, your little amiibo can get scanned in. And you can even go change his design to any of the other designs that you've collected already if you want. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like customize your amiibo. But it's literally you're controlling both at the same time, which is kind of a fun challenge in and of itself. Because like you're going to accidentally eat yourself the entire time. But it's also
like all these bonuses do is make the game harder.
Yeah. But it's also like you have, you know, one Yoshi gets killed and then the other one's still going. So like, to some extent, it's easier. You've literally got a walking bullet shield in front of you. So
yeah, and you can reach some of those places that you were talking about before by eating your Yoshi and throwing
and
it
then just spitting him out at it. Yeah, exactly. And then control. You literally control him, so you could spit him upwards, and then he can do his like little propeller jump to get even higher.
Yeah.
So.
Now I'm really upset. Now I just want to go to the store and buy my Yoshi amiibo. Because it's like the only amiibo I'm missing right now.
They look incredible.
They're like, so cute.
They look really good. I have to give it to Nintendo. These are a super well-made product. I love the look of the regular amiibo. But now I'm kind of like, if they decided to release every single Yoshi design from this game in amiibo format, I'd almost think it'd be worth it because they look so good.
Tim, there's over 100.
There's like 50. I know.
But he's not joking. Is the problem?
They look so good and they're so cute. They're awesome.
Now, are you guys using the power ups? Because there's one power up that I've been using almost each and every single time, it's the watermelon. Eat as much watermelon as you can, and you spit out the watermelon seeds, because the thing about the watermelon power-up, it's by far the best power-up, is you can just run around with Yoshi just spitting out water seeds. It's like you're in some kind of like first-person shooter, and it's the best way to discover where all the hidden secrets are, because as the bullets, as the seeds go flying by, it will unlock or show where specific like hidden items are, like the invisible question blocks, for example. So I've been using that as often as I can, and when I use it, that's when I usually tend to 100% complete a level.
Okay. I played through the whole game without using any of the badges, and I'm going to go back just to 100% everything. I'll probably end up using some. I think there's a fire-resistant one, things like that.
Yeah. There's one that actually allows you to see where all the hidden items are.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, that one I don't know that I'll need as much. I mean, God, I didn't really fall. Through the first four worlds, I don't think I even died once. I started to a little bit more in the last two. There are some stages that are a little brutal when you really, really want to collect all that yarn. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, I could say, if I could see where something was, I was going to get it because I didn't want to have to go back and do this all over again.
We don't use any of the badges either, but speaking of like finding all the hidden stuff, the true challenge to this game is not only collecting everything, but then when you get all of the flowers in a world, you get the secret bonus level at the end, which is where you get the coolest designs for Yoshi.
That's the thing I haven't decided if I like about this game yet, is in Yoshi's Island, well, in Yoshi's Woolly World, they kind of tell you when you start collecting the yarns and collect the flowers, like you can see what number it is, like in the order of, you know, you have to collect five flowers and it tells you, okay, this is the second one, this is the third one. And in Yoshi's Island, it doesn't do that. Like you still have to collect all five, but it doesn't give you any kind of order. And so there's no, you know, playing Yoshi's Woolly World, oh, okay, we missed the first flower. Well, we know it has to be before the second one, so let's go venture around there until we find it. And that's made it easier, which again, I don't know if I like, because I like the challenge aspect of not having a clue where it could be. So I haven't decided if it's helpful, but I don't know if I like it.
It makes it too easy, though. That's a problem.
Like, right. This game doesn't have the timer, right? So that you can go find everything, but like you could still have a timer and find everything because it tells you the order. So,
well, Yoshi's Island doesn't have a timer either, no. But it's just... It's,
because you have to explore to find it all. Like, you can't find it within 10 minutes.
But I think the thing is when Yoshi's Island came out, it was so new. Like, we hadn't played anything like it prior, and so this... It's basically like a sequel, right? I mean, it's almost exactly like the same game with new ideas. But if you've played Yoshi's Island and you've mastered that game, this game is incredibly easy. So it's a little tricky to 100% complete each level. But I still think that it could have been better if we had the option, say, to add a timer or something, just to make it a little bit more difficult for expert players. Because I have a feeling that even if I go back and try to 100% complete each level, I'm going to finish this game within a week. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I kind of wish once you beat the game, they would give you a hard mode where you don't see the order of everything. There's a timer. And just everything that would make the game harder, they add to it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be fun. It'd be more of a test for true veterans. Because, like, Brittany, this is, like, easily the game that Brittany is just better than me at.
The only game that I'm better than you at.
So she can, like, handle so many things. And, like, anytime there is something that you need to, like, jump and throw for, she'll just, like, eat me really quick and use me to get those.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slowly learning to get better, but I feel like I could handle all the challenges this game throws at me by the end of this, for sure.
Now, you guys made it a lot farther than me in the game. So far, my two favorite levels are Yoshi and Cookies, the one I was talking about previously, and the pyramid. I think the pyramid's fantastic because it's like a maze, right? You have to try to figure out how to get all four keys in order to open up the locked door.
Yeah.
Oh, we were frustrated with that level. You should try that level with two people, especially those platforms that you can only jump on a certain number of times.
Oh, yes.
It's like, it's a test of patience because one of you has to jump on the platform, and then the other one has to jump on the platform. And so often it would just turn into, like, one of us would accidentally bump the other one up a platform, and then all of a sudden that lower platform was gone. So one of us is just, like, propelling in the air, trying to stay alive while the other one just has to move on. And it was just like, it became a Yoshi massacre where eventually it was just like, it was every man for himself.
Yeah.
And we were just like, forget you. I am jumping up to the rest of the platforms. I'm going to go get whatever we need. You're just going to die. Sorry.
All you hear is that struggling whine constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
I have played through the whole thing. I beat it last night, and I would say that there. One of the things that I like about this game, it's super easy, and it's definitely more on the relaxed platformer side. It's not Super Mario 3D World or Donkey Kong Country for sure, but I like the variety it throws at you. Every stage is throwing something new at you. And that does remind me a lot of Yoshi's Island. Even though it doesn't have the difficulty of that, it stays fresh the entire way through. I never felt like I was repeating the same things over and over and over again from stage to stage. So I do really like that all the way up until the end.
Like, we're in World 4, and like there's still stuff that Brittany's seeing from Yoshi's Island, and it's thrilling for her. Like, yesterday, she screams, monkeys! Like, it's the monkeys! I love these guys! And she's just, like, running around, jumping around, like, not even killing them, just jumping around with the monkeys, like, having a good time.
Those monkeys are jerks, man.
I know. But they're adorable.
They are. As is every enemy in this. I felt bad about killing everything in this game.
Oh, the chickens? Like, the really, really cool, loud eating chickens? That's the coolest power-up of anything ever. You can throw these eggs, and they leave clouds that you can walk on.
I always felt sad every time I accidentally jumped on their mother, though, and she's gone now, and now I'm going to eat your kids.
Yeah, exactly. I, like, every once in a while would say something like, matricide, like, I killed your mom, sorry. Like,
wait, he's not killing the little baby chicken birds, whatever. He's just
spitting
them out. Like, he's not swallowing them or digesting
them. Throw them, like...
No, he's just repurposing them.
You kill the mom, Rick. You jump on top of her and she disappears in a puff of smoke. So I mean...
she goes to a very special farm far away.
I'm giving the mom a purpose in life, okay? Like, just killing her. But, you know, like, I was glad to see a character like Bert the Bashful pop up. You know, he's in, of course, the original game, and he's, like, I think the first boss in the original game. But there's still some guys who I haven't seen. Like, is there a haunted house?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, there is. Okay.
It's like, we haven't even gotten that far, but I've seen it played, and it's one of the most creative haunted houses.
Okay, it took me a little while to figure out what to do with the ghosts. I won't give you guys any tips if you can already figure it out, but I was stuck on the very first screen of the haunted house for a long time wondering what the hell I was supposed to do until...
I'll be able to figure it out.
Oh, I was just going to say, we completely forgot to mention the fact that, like Yoshi's Island, you can also turn Yoshi into... like a helicopter, a car, a mole tank, etc. I like fertile bonus levels. I love that.
Yeah, the plane ones are great. They're like those little side-scrolling or shooters that we used to have, you know, back in the Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
like 1942 back in the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the ones that I miss from Yoshi's Island is, so in Yoshi's Island, you have a baby Mario that's riding on your back the whole time through the game, and there's one level in Yoshi's Island where you get this star, and Yoshi becomes an egg, and Mario becomes the one running around. And you run around, and you have to collect all these things within a certain time limit, and that's one of my favorites from Yoshi's Island, but obviously that can't be in this game. But there's a lot of similarities, but I think the things that are different are the things that I miss.
Well, there's one thing I don't miss, and it's Mario crying.
I was going to say, at least you didn't say, I don't miss baby Mario at all.
Yeah. I do miss, though, or again, kind of going back to how easy Yoshi's Woolly World is that in Yoshi's Island, in order to beat the level at 100%, you have to have everything, including all of your lives,
your health,
I guess.
Right.
Yeah, all of your health and all the stars and the flowers and coins and all that. Whereas in Yoshi's Woolly World, in order to move on to the next level and consider it 100%, you really only have to have all the flowers and all the yarns. So that's kind of another part that I wish was
they do
a part
give,
of this game.
The health thing is definitely, like, they'll give you a star if your health is at 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know how motivating it is for anybody to actually get that.
Well, because in order to get the bonus level at the end of the world, you really only have to have all of the flowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you collect all the yarn because you want a new Yoshi.
Right.
And that's so, the biggest motivator for me is just getting the new Yoshi costumes, I think.
Yeah.
And well, and like you get all the flowers so you can play the special level, which is like really, really challenging. And
which are hard. Yoshi. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason that I like Yoshi's Woolly World is different than the reason that I like Yoshi's Island. Like, it's a lot easier, but it's more fun, and I like seeing all the same characters, like, in yarn form. And it's entertaining, but yeah, I think as far as it being, like, a good, challenging game to play, Yoshi's Island is probably better.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's been, what, 20 years? So I'm so glad we have this game. It's not like they release these games every year, like, I don't know, Assassin's Creed. But Patrick, you completed the game, so what I want to know is, what is the best world?
Oh, the best world. I'm going to say, I liked the fourth one was pretty good. That was like kind of a jungle world, right?
Okay, that's where I just started.
Yeah, I liked that one a lot. Fourth and fifth, I'm going to say, are the best. The sixth had some okay stages, but nothing overly memorable. They're all good. It's just that I think fourth and fifth were probably the best for me. And the cookie world was good, too.
So I got to do one of two things. I have to either buy a Yoshi amiibo so I can play sort of like two players, even though I'm a single player, and or call my nephew to come over and play with my nephew, because it just seems like I'm going to have a lot more fun playing this with two players. Like, the last Super Mario game, I love playing with my nephews. I can play up to four players, and it just made it so much more enjoyable to play.
Yeah, I think this is the same story, where, like, it's probably more challenging, similar to Mario, where you're all just pushing each other off and stuff like that. And it's just, it's more rewarding when you're both, you know, you find a yarn and immediately you both start making like little noises as you're pressing the down button. Like, I don't know about you guys, but anytime we find anything, like, Yoshi makes like a little noise, so we'll like start bouncing up and down. So that's like our celebration.
My favorite transformation is the Mega Yoshi. And I kind of wish that there was some sort of like hidden secret in some levels in which you can turn into Mega Yoshi within the level as opposed to one of those post levels.
Isn't that what Mega Yarn Yoshi's gonna do?
I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure they have the amiibo coming out in November, and I'm pretty sure it's just gonna always make you Mega Yarn Yoshi.
That would be outstanding.
But this is honestly an amazing game, though. I mean, this is why I love my Wii U, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many great games on the Wii U. Like, we have a great Yoshi game, a great Mario game, a great Super Smash game, a great Mario Kart game. We hopefully a great Zelda game. The only thing that's really missing is Metroid.
Yeah.
What? They have typical Metroid.
And this is like B-level Nintendo platforming. It's not the Super Mario 3D World. It's fun. It's not like out of your, you know, it's not going to blow your mind, but it's so much fun to play. It's just one of those perfect. It's one of those games that sums up Nintendo perfectly.
I think that, like, whenever I look back and I list my favorite Wii games, Kirby's Epic Yarn always makes the list just because I had so much fun playing that with my wife.
That makes my best titles list right there. I love saying Kirby's Epic
Yarn. Yeah, I think that's what this
is
going to be. Plus, like, it needs to be said that out of all sequels or potential sequels to Yoshi's Island, this is the truest and this is the best.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. This is the best Yoshi game in a long time, probably since Yoshi's Island.
Yeah. So,
and what do you think about it? Is that true, Brittany? Have you played any other ones?
No, I haven't. I've only ever played.
You own Yoshi's New Island because I bought it for you, but you like never even bothered to play it because I think you just said this is too easy, like right away.
Okay, yeah, I do vaguely remember that. I probably just tried to block it out of my head. but yeah, I mean, as far as having only played, I mean, I've only ever played Yoshi, really, any video game. But yeah, I think that this sequel is definitely sufficient, and it does what it's supposed to do in a sequel, and it's, you know, great, the aspects that they keep the same and the aspects that they change for having come out 20-some years later. I think it's really great.
I love how Yoshi's Island was a sequel to Super Mario World, even though it's a completely different platformer, and this is the sequel to Yoshi's Island, even like, so like, is this part three of Super Mario World? Like, I'm so confused.
I don't know anymore.
This is why Nintendo just, oh my God, some of their name decisions. Like, that's the one thing that Nintendo can't do right, is choosing good names. Like, sometimes they do great jobs, like the Super NES made sense and the GameCube, but I don't know, man. Like, especially ever since they got into like the Wii generation, they just do not know how to name anything properly.
Oh, don't even get me started on Super Smash Bros. This time around. That's still bumming me out. Like, oh, I know, we'll just name it Super Smash Bros. 4 Wii U and Super Smash Bros. 4 3DS. Like, you guys spend a full night thinking that up? Like,
I don't know. I love Yoshi's Woolly World. That's a great name to say. Just like Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Yeah, exactly. There are some times that they get it spot on. Yoshi's Woolly World is a brilliant title. And it is a very woolly world.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to have to review that Kirby game in the next few weeks.
We're pretty good at that one, too. So yeah. I have comments about that.
And did you guys play the Kirby's Rainbow Curse for the Wii U?
Nope, never got into it. I played the demo, and then I was
It's kind of a counterpart to this game in many ways. The yarn, the clay, they're both heavily dependent on their visuals.
About that game is, and I hate to say this because I argued against this last week, but it's so expensive for a game in which I can't even look at my TV because I have to be focused on my gamepad. And if that game was like half the price, because here in Canada it's like $89, it's really
expensive. Oh my God!
What the heck? Like,
Yoshi's Woolly World. I don't know about you guys, but it cost me $69. How much did you guys pay?
So without we got the Amiibo bundle, and it was 60. Without that, it was 50.
It was 50. Yeah, that's what I got.
What?
$50, man. That's what a Wii U game costs here.
Okay, well, it cost me 69, and I didn't get an Amiibo, so.
You need to write Nintendo a really, really sad, discouraging letter. That's just like, so I paid more than my friends, and I
told you guys, the Amiibo is $2 more here in Canada than in the States. Like they released the Amiibo and the original retail price was $14.99 here in Canada, and they increased it and now it's $17.
Okay, but you can see them in stores. Like, you have told me so many times, like, oh yeah, they just restocked this, 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 and this. Like, that's never true in America. Ever.
I'm going to go into my local GameStop and see if they have any of those yarn Yoshis. I know they did when I bought the game, but that was day one, so... this is what I'll say about Yoshi versus Kirby. Yoshi is Kirby done right. If Kirby would have just been a regular Kirby platformer with clay visuals that, like you said, Rick, you could look at your beautiful HD TV screen and enjoy, that would have been a really, really fun game. But instead, it made you look at the gamepad, wasting those great-looking visuals. And it included some, it just tried to shoehorn in the gamepad play. It really didn't work. It was so finicky at times for a game that required precision. Yoshi does it all right. Yoshi lets you just sit back, relax, and enjoy.
That's what I love about it. It's such a relaxing game to play. Like, it's like I'm like really stressed out working on the website. I'm like, I'm going to go take a break and play Yoshi's Woolly World and complete a level and I'll be okay. It's like the perfect way to relax. You know, the funny thing about Nintendo is going to be like the strangest thing for me to say all day long, but I always say strange things each and every single week. Nintendo makes me want to be a dad, because every time I play Nintendo and I play a game like Yoshi's Woolly World, and all of these memories come back about playing the original game, like way back in the Super NES days. And I'm like, man, I wish I could be playing this with, like, that's why I love my nephews, right? But they're not my kids. But it's like you introduce them to these games and you go back and play the older games. And it's about, like, that's what I love about Nintendo. It's like being able to play with your family. And that's why I love the last Mario game so much, because I was able to play like four players with my niece, my nephews, whoever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's something that I just don't see on, say, Xbox One. Like, Xbox One has some amazing games, but they don't have those kind of games where you just want to sit around in front of the TV in the living room on Christmas Eve and sort of play one of these Nintendo games and just have a blast with your family.
Playing Halo, shooting each other in the face.
Bloodborne, you know.
Yeah.
You definitely got a point there. And this is one of those games that would do that.
And the true test of a parent is, Ricky, you need to get your friends together, have them play some Mario Kart, and like introduce a ton of blue shells, and then just try to break up the fights. Because that'll be the true test of a good parent right there. who can handle the easy Yoshi Woolly worlds and the friendship breaking Mario Karts at the same time.
Oh my god, I remember fighting with my friends and my older brother back in the day whenever we played multiplayer games, and my people would get so upset.
It's like when you're in first place and then you just get hit by a stupid shell and you're like automatically in last place.
Yep.
I was going to say,
friend hit you with that.
Tim and Brittany, from when you guys have been playing this game multiplayer, lately Nintendo's multiplayers have gotten into that competitive screw over your teammate mode. have you guys gotten into any, like...
Only once have we yelled at each other while playing this game.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, there have been times when we were playing the game and we, like, each want to go a different direction. Like, oh, we need to go over here. No, wait, I want to go over here. And so if you move far enough away from the other person that they become off screen, then they just die. And so we've had a couple times where it's kind of like, well, screw you, I'm going this way, and then you're just going to die. But
sometimes the power-ups go against your favor. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. So you have the watermelon gun, I guess you can call it, like where Yoshi spits out the seeds, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is you get the watermelon and you can't use your tongue anymore because you're spitting out water seeds. So if you come to a specific section where you need your tongue in order to unravel, like, the yarn, for example, you have to get rid of every single one of those seeds so you can start using your tongue again. And it killed me quite a few times because in that very same level, the pyramid level, you need to access the fire. So you need to swallow the fire so you can light up specific, like, things, right? And you also have to swallow the fire to get by specific, like, platforms floating in the air, like those, like, chandeliers, right? But if you have your watermelon seed power up, you're instead of swallowing the fire, you're shooting out the seeds. So you got to be careful.
So don't always use badges. Like, yeah. There are some levels where badges don't help.
And there are some spots where I think they intentionally are trying to screw you over that way, so that you have to next time when you come back, you'll remember, okay, I can't do this, and this is the only way to get the yarn. I definitely, there were times when I screwed myself over just trying to get, I don't know, get through a stage, and all of a sudden I was locked out of being able to get a piece of yarn or something like that.
Right. But you know what? I wouldn't use, say, the fireproof badge if I'm in the lava stage, because that's just going to make it even easier. You know, so if I wanted to use a power-up, I might use the butt stomp, when it makes the butt stomp more powerful, like, you know, something a little different than what's going to make it even easier for me to complete the level.
Just bring Poochie along for everything.
Yeah, that's like totally. One of the funniest ones.
Let Poochie die a horrible death in the lava world.
Yeah. It's kind of like those people that make Super Mario Maker levels where you have to jump off Yoshi to survive.
Yes.
And they just, like, call it, like, Yoshi's worst day ever and stuff like that. There are a couple of those levels.
Moral gray areas in Mario.
Awesome. So I think everyone here would agree that Yoshi's Woolly World is definitely worth it. It's a really fun game, probably more fun with two people. And if you don't own a Wii U, go buy one and play Yoshi's Woolly World. I like that every single episode is just me trying to sell Wii U's. Like,
Nintendo, you're the best. Like, Nintendo needs to hire you as just a shill for their product.
Fun story. Before the Wii U was out, my friends and I were hanging out for a birthday celebration. We have really, really close to the same birthday, and so every year we get together and we just go hang out. And one year before the Wii U was out, there were Wii U's in GameStop that you could go play. And we were all just hovering around one playing it. And I'm not kidding, we sold two pre-orders for the Wii U that day. Like, there was, like, one dad that was like, oh, is this the Wii? And we were like, actually, this is the sequel to the Wii. And then we were like, he was like, oh, do you think it'd be, we have two daughters, do you think this would be good for them? And we were like, yeah, look how you can use the tablet. One of them can play on the tablet, one of them can use the TV. And, like, every game that comes out on this is going to be a great multiplayer game. Dad goes over, pre-orders one on the spot. Same story, like, another dad comes in, and we got him to pre-order it, too.
I kind of wish I could make a commercial for Nintendo for the Christmas holidays where the commercial would be targeted specifically at parents, and it would be like, look, this is the Wii U. Remember the Wii? It sold 140 million units. You all bought one. You all loved it. This is the better, more improved version. And look, we have Yoshi's Woolly World. It's perfect for your kids. Show some footage. Look, Super Mario Maker. Mario's back. 30-year anniversary. Show some footage. Like, they can design some sort of commercial that's also educating parents so they understand that they should be buying this for their kids at Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, but they have the worst advertising that they've ever had in the history of the company right now, it seems like.
Man, have, like, a guy holding Mario by his, like, hair up in the air, and he's got a gun to Mario's head and say, buy the Wii U, or otherwise we're killing Mario.
That sounds like Mad Magazine. Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog, isn't that what?
Actually, it's a famous comic book cover from DC Comics, from Justice League. It was, anyways, whatever. Yeah. Maybe it is Mad Magazine, too, but...
You can market Yoshi's Woolly World multiplayer as great marriage counseling, because, you know, it's a true test of our relationship and teamwork and screwing each other over.
There are actually moments where I'd collect 6 yarn balls and then, like, get ahead of my wife, and then she'd be platforming and I'd just be hurling yarn balls at her.
That's therapy, man.
She's great. She's awesome for that kind of therapy.
I do it because she can dodge them all. Like, she'll make it through without any trouble and then, like, keep progressing like I didn't do anything. It's amazing.
Oh, there you go, kids. You heard it here. Tell your parents. Forget that psychologist.
It's a game for them and for you. It's great. It's perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening to N-Express this week, you guys. Ricky D., where can we find you online?
You can find me over at Pop Optic, P-O-P-O-P. Wait, I said it wrong. P-O-P-O-P-T-I-Q, popoptic.com. And I have to remind our listeners, we are having a very, very, very important fundraiser. We're trying to raise enough money to keep the site alive for, like, the next 2 years, which includes the podcast. Long story short, we have a lot of great, fantastic podcasts on our website. And in addition with the 25,000 plus articles we have, it's really expensive to run our website, and it's an independently owned website. So it's kind of we're kind of in a situation where we need to raise money. So if you like our show, please consider donating, because once again, our podcast is free to listen to, and you can find all the information over on our website, popoptic.com. And one quick last plug, if you do like movies, do check out my movie podcast, Sword of Cinema, which you can also find over at Pop Optic.
Which is, like, I gotta say, I just gotta plug it too. It's super good. Like, thank really you. Well done. Yeah, I love it.
Well, it's up to our listeners and readers, and maybe a miracle for us to keep our podcast going. So come on, guys. Like, $5. Oh my God, I gotta say this. If you donate money to the podcast, you can not only choose the topic for us to discuss, but you can come and guest host with us. It's not like you're just giving us money. You can actually come on our show. So yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Patrick Murphy, where can we find you online?
You can find me under the video game section at popoptic.com and on Twitter at @PS_porcupine.
And my beautiful wife, Brittany Mason, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah.
Where can people find you online?
You can find me on all the social media places at Brittany is a bird, and it's Brittany with an A-N-Y. I post nothing about video games, so if that's what you're into, then don't follow me.
Occasionally, her husband will tweet at her something about video games. Like, hey, everyone, help Tim get a new TV. you can find me online as well, at the Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. And in the game section of popoptic.com, stick around for my review of Halo coming out on Monday or Tuesday. And always check out all the articles about Nintendo that I'm perpetually writing on the game section. So thanks so much for listening to you guys. It's been a fun one. And we all hope that you have some really happy, fun times with Yoshi's Woolly World. Talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.